All right, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised because He's great. In other words, He's worthy. I don't know if this is my favorite scripture because I have many. But this one describes my teaching and my life maybe as much as any scripture in the Bible. So let's turn to Isaiah, chapter 26. This one is, I'm totally inadequate to describe how great this is. I live it constantly, every day. But to put it in context, to teach it or declare it the way the Holy Spirit would have me declare it today, I have no idea. I really don't know, even at this minute. But since it's my very life, it's easy. It's easy just to open my mouth and speak. But I've decided that the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to organize this, but just to stick right with the scripture, with the text, rather than to say all the things that come to me. I could organize it, make it look like a message or something. But I feel that He rebuked me to do that because I know I'm not adequate to do it because this one is so big. I want to tell you everything about the New Testament, how it's right here. I want to tell you all kinds of things in the Old Testament, how they all fit in. I'd love to tell you all about the natural man, not us. The natural man. I'd love to tell you all about the psychology and the conduct and the lack of faith, the unbelief in the natural man. I really don't feel the Holy Spirit wants me to do that. I feel what He's wanting me to do is just to share exactly what it says here in this text. So let's read it. 26, chapter 26, verse 1. In that day, now, are y'all with me? Isaiah. Yeah, Isaiah 26. And the third verse is what I'm heading for. But it's written on my refrigerator. I didn't write it. I think Peggy got it from somewhere or something. But I can sum up everything I believe and live and know and adore and love in this verse. And it's a description of you. It's a description of your new man in Christ. It's a description of how you govern yourself minute by minute, day by day, and why most Christians don't grow. And why those that do, here's why. So let's read it carefully and see how far we get. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. So the title could easily be The Song of Judah. The Song of Judah. Now, Judah, Yehuda in the Hebrew, means praise. So it's a song of praise. So this song shall be sung in that day. Now that day is any day from Jesus to our day. It certainly applies to our day, but it also applied to His day. When the truth first began to dawn, first began to appear on the earth, but it was there before the foundation of the world. So this truth that was hidden for ages was finally revealed. But since that time, 2,000 years ago, it has barely, this is amazing to even say this, especially as a pastor. In fact, I would say I'm totally unsuccessful. I don't mean literally. I haven't affected anybody. I just mean what I know and what I'm breathing and living on a daily basis, I know has not communicated. And I know a lot of you, I really understand, Pastor. Well, I don't think so. No, it's greater. It is such a love affair. It is so hot, so passionate, so complete, so total that I readily know. I haven't communicated it. So it's not your responsibility, it's mine. I wish, I pray, I've prayed this morning, God, give me wisdom how to share this in such a way that it impacts everybody's life. So if I just could get one of you, I'd be successful. If I could just get one. To have the same joy, the same peace, the same hope, the same laughter, the same purity, simplicity, power, majesty, as I have experienced ever since I met Yeshua. Ever since I met him. And Peggy knows also, I have not been able to do it. And so I feel bad about that, not for me, but for you. I wish I could share it better. It's too exciting. And I know this will change and alter the whole world. Yeah. I know that everything I'm teaching is absolutely correct. Now, that's a strong statement. That's not pride. I'm just telling you. I know that I know that I know. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you have had some experience of it. I want you to have all. Mm-hmm. Not in the world to come. Now. Today. This minute. So in that day, the last day, obviously, which we don't know exactly what it is, but it's any time after Jesus for sure, shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda? Now, it is sung by, of course, a few, but it's not really sung by the people of Israel yet, but it will. And that's why I know it's going to be fulfilled now. Now, I didn't say it wasn't fulfilled in Jesus' day, and that many of the Jewish people, like Paul and Peter and others, they got a hold of it. And they saw this song of Judah. You know that there's two songs in the book of Revelation, the song of Moses, which doesn't go away, and the song of the Lamb. Two songs. The song of Moses, because the great song of Moses is that you're guilty. That's a great song. In other words, you're unhappy because of your own decisions. What you believe, what you think, what you feel, what you want, and what you do. That's your responsibility. It's not God. God won't do it. No, he will not. He spoke to you the truth. He sent the Son. But you must choose. That you are, you cannot choose. But who you are, you must choose. And the first thing you must choose is to be guilty. You must choose to come under the left hand of God's rule, law, judgment, justice, and realize, I can't do it. I can't, by all the good works I could possibly do, I cannot make myself perfect before God. I just can't. And the reason is because your heart isn't in it, and you need a new heart. Create in me a new heart, O God, David cried out. I need a new heart. This heart wants to, but I just can't get it. I mean, you know, nothing can be perfected under the natural man, under the law, and that's why no religion is worth anything. It's satanic and evil. All religions are satanic and evil because they only get you to guilt. That's as far as they can get you, and most of them don't even do that because the whole purpose of the religion is to keep you from feeling guilty. You know, if you rub Buddha's tummy, you won't feel so bad and things will go well. And so all religions just relieve the symptom, but never deal with the cause. So, you know, if there's Hindus and Buddhists out there and witchcraft people and so on and so forth, but none of it works. None of it. And it won't with drugs and alcohol thrown in and, you know, or whatever men do to find happiness, joy, and peace and so on. It's not going to come. So the kingdom comes through us. We're the salt and we're the light. But we're only the salt and the light if, in fact, we're the salt and the light. If you haven't matured, you're still in the flesh. I don't mean you're born in the flesh. No, you're born again. But born again doesn't mean anything unless you develop that, choose that, will that, go forward with that. If in fact you are a new creation, then you should look like one, act like one, talk like one, smell like one. But most of us are still lost, confused. It's the same as the world. No wonder the world can't hear us. Because it sees nothing. Nothing new. Yeah, it's just connected to Jesus somehow, but they don't really see Jesus. They just hear about Jesus, but they don't see any reality. Now, I'm not indicting. I'm just simply describing. I'm just saying the church has not come in to its fullness, to its glory, to its maturity. And it's in there. Now, this scripture is going to speak to that in the Old Testament, 600 or 700 years before Jesus. And it's going to describe it so perfectly that nothing is left off. And my entire life and ministry is wrapped up in this. I won't share it today. I wish I could. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda, Judah, praise. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. In other words, our strong city is to be saved. But saved doesn't just mean justified. It also means sanctified. It also means glorified. It means body, soul, and spirit. It means the inner court, the outer court, all of it. Saved means that you're actually saved, not just in your heart, but also in your soul, but also in your life, but also in your family, but also in your church, also in your world. Because the world has nothing without us, and we have nothing without Him. So the only reason you're a light is because He's a light and He's in you. You're not the light. You are the light, but in a derivative sense, like the moon reflects the sun's glory at night. But the sun is the source. The moon's just a reflector. So in that sense, you have life, but it's borrowed. It's foreign. It's alien. It's not innate. What's innate is your guilty left hand. But here, not only do I choose to be guilty, I confess, God, I am so nothing. I can't get it. I can't. And just believing in Jesus won't change that. So now I believe in Jesus, so now I'm a new creation. Yes, yes, yes. But I'm still not living. I'm still not, that's not producing anything. It's just I'm talking. I'm doing a few things and so on, but it's not really what Jesus had in mind. What He had in mind is a new creation, where the old passes away and the new has come. I'm a new creation. He wants that new creation to come forth. And it doesn't do any good in heaven. Everyone will have that in heaven. It's meant for down here. And it'll be crucified. If you're a new creation and then you start living it, and this is why a lot of people don't want to have it. I guess they want to have it without living it. Because you'll be crucified. You'll be persecuted. You'll be hated. You'll be despised. Even by your own family. So you have to be so in love that that doesn't make any difference. You know, lovers don't care. Lovers only see their beloved, and that's it. They don't see the bombs. They don't see the bullets. They don't see all the troubles and problems in the world. All they see is their beloved. That's what it's like to be married. How many here are married? That's what it's like. You're so in love with Jesus and you're so in love with your spouse that you don't see anything else. You don't see anyone else. You're not looking for anything more. You're satisfied. Completely, 100%, totally satisfied. I am not, you know, partly pleased with Peggy. Totally pleased. I don't want her to be different, better, greater, anything. Just the way she is. Perfect. 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 and the fact that there are no conditions to that. It has nothing to do with her. It isn't that she's behaving or cooking or whatever. It has nothing to do with anything. It just has to do with Jesus and me. It's a relationship before it's a performance. Performance is nothing. Performance is nothing. Fruit is nothing. It's just the evidence of something else, deeper. And so the performance comes right out of the relationship. So if you have that new creation relationship, you're going to have the fruit. You're not going to have it in heaven. You're going to have it here, now, today. This is today. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in all things, no matter what, and be glad in it. And nothing will disturb me. Obamacare, you know, whatever people are worried about or confused about, the economy shaping up or whatever. Tax and spend and all that stuff, that's as old as the hills. There's nothing new under the sun. Don't worry about it. That's just because you're wrong. It's not because he's wrong, it's because you're wrong. If you were a light, that wouldn't happen, but you're the problem. Let judgment begin in the household of God. Let's put the blame where it belongs. It doesn't belong with him. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what he's doing. So what? That's not the problem. The problem is you don't. So you can't point a finger at somebody else. Look what he did. Look what he did. That's easy. Anybody can do that. But the problem for God is not him. It's you. Let judgment begin in the household of God. That's us. So forget what kind of religious background he has, who he is, what he is, and all that. What are you? Forget, it isn't about somebody else. It's about you. It's about you. So we are now facing our own, you know, lack of choice. We just didn't choose to go all the way. We chose to stay a Christian and then barely grow. Just barely. You say, no, I just never heard the whole truth. That's my excuse. You don't have any excuse. You could have read the Bible. You could have sought God. Well, I didn't know. Really, I didn't. Honest to God. You're a liar. You're lying. If you want to grow, you can grow. No one's stopping you. No one's stopping you from reading the Bible. You know you can buy these Bibles? I know some people have three. One for the bathroom, one for the bedroom, one for the car. You can have three of them. Carry one around with you. And they're cheap. You can get them for, you know, under $10. You can go to the used bookstore and probably get them for less. I mean, it's amazing how you can buy these things. But if you buy 100 of them or something, they're cheap. Churches buy them all the time for almost nothing. Because you have to buy in bulk, you know, get a big bulk of them. And they're brand new. They want small ones, big ones, little ones. You know, they got everything. Brown, you know, all the different colors, and burgundy, blue, black, white, pink for little girls. It is great. Did you know you can buy those? All right. Now, here's God's truth. Open ye the gates. So remember this strong city, salvation walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, ta-da, you and me, we're the righteous nation. Say it, I'm part of the righteous nation. Amen. It's good. It's good that you know who you are. Now, what makes you righteous? Not your good works. Not even your faith. It's actually, have you believed, and then have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then have you gone on, you know, from glory to glory to glory to glory, beholding him every day, every minute, every second, because he's your beloved. He's not only in your heart, but he comes out of your heart. He comes into your soul, and then he comes into your life, and then he comes into your family, into your church, and he just fills the world till the glory of God covers the entire earth. Well, we've probably got a little way to go. We could have a little distance. Again, don't think I'm criticizing or anything. I'm not. I'm just describing. Open ye the gates. This is God speaking about the future. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth. How many know that Jesus is the truth? So Isaiah is talking about Jesus. Because the truth is personal. It's a person. It's not a thing. It's not a concept. It's not a Greek idea. Keep the truth. Keep it. How do you keep it? Fall in love with him? Relationship? Because it's a person. God is the truth. And God gives truth, and you can trust in truth. So, if you then had this truth, and it would set you free because you'd be his disciple. I hope some of these pens work. See if we can get one to work here. Truth. If God could give you the truth. Now, watch what the truth would be. The truth is not that you're guilty, though that is true. The truth is not that man at his best is altogether vanity, though that is true. That is a truth, but is not the truth. Is, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's true. So the highest you can get there would be that I'm guilty and nothing I can do about it. Because even if I'm at my best state, Imagine me on my worst days. But what if I was on my best days, on my best behavior? Imagine if I suppressed my flesh all day long and just said, Jesus. It's still altogether nothing. It's nothing. It's just you faking it, fig leafing it. It's just you pretending. Hopefully you're pretending to other people, but not to yourself. But many Christians even pretend to themselves, because I did good, I must be good. No, doing good has nothing to do with being. Who you are, that's a work of God. He created you naturally, and the highest you could get there, if that were the truth, would be God, you know, under the law of your left hand. I'm sorry you can't read this, but that one says law. I need some new pens here. I've got to bring these. See if here's one, maybe. All right. So here's the Ten Commandments. That's the law. If that's all you've got, you know, God's wrath on you. And so the most you can get there is guilt. That's the highest the natural man could go, is to feel guilty. Guilty as charged. How many of you here have been guilty as charged? No. Everything you did was selfish. Totally self-oriented. Nothing you did was for Jesus, even when you said it was. So you're guilty. Everything you produced, everything you did, all the fruit you made, stank. It's just a stench. It's, ooh. You know, when God smells that, the man at his best, all your righteousness is like a filthy rag. It stinks. God doesn't like it because it's not perfect. The only thing missing in all your nice and wonderful and glorious days and works is you don't have a heart. Your heart's not in it. Your heart is still for you. And all you're thinking about day and night is you. And that's all you ever think about. Even though it looks like you're thinking about other people, you're actually not. You're only thinking about them in relationship to you. So you're just using other people and so on. I'm sorry that you don't see that. Because if you don't see that, first of all, only a free person could be guilty. You'd have to be free, because there's no guilt if you're not. If you're not free to choose, so freedom is the foundation of guilt. That's interesting. That is so fascinating. But God is not just an angry judge seeking to condemn everybody, but he does that out of love. That's a loving father who does that, but he's also a loving father who gives you, a loving father, not an angry judge, who gives you the gospel. And the truth then is the gospel. And that truth of the gospel, one, got to know the right picture of God. Two, you got to hear his gospel. That is that your natural righteousness won't make it. You're guilty. Guilty as charged. All right? But as a loving father, he loves sinners. Ta-da! So don't try to not be a sinner. Be one. Be guilty. He loves sinners. Sinners are loved. That is an amazing... Nobody knows that. He loves sinners. Nobody knows that. Buddhists don't know that. Hindus don't know that. Muslims don't know that. Jews don't even know that. They know the words, the concepts. But they don't know it because they're still trying to keep Torah, to keep the scriptures, to do what's right. How many here, don't raise your hand because I not want to embarrass you, but how many here, sometimes you choose to do what you ought to do rather than what you want to do? Yeah. I'm glad you embarrassed yourself. Yeah.
You say want to do instead of what you ought to do?
Yeah. In other words, how many times do you want to do what you ought to do, should do, instead of what you want to do, which is hit the person or yell at them or something. But you do what you ought to do. Well, that's all right. No, I forgive you. No, I didn't think about it. You know, God bless you, sweetheart. How many do what you ought to do because you know that's what you ought to do, should do? But you didn't do what you wanted to do. It's like, you are stupid. That's what you wanted to say. That's what you wanted to do. Poke them. Cut off their breath. You know, you wanted to do something to how come you don't know anything? You know, you want to criticize, judge, look down on, and despise other people. And how many know that's in you? That is in you. There's always somebody if not everybody, at least there's somebody you can look down on and despise and wonder, why are they breathing? Why are they on the earth? What gives you the right to be in my life? Now, does everybody know that's in you?
Yeah.
It's kind of a general hatred toward humanity in general and specific people particularly. And you today. No. You today is the same as everybody at all times. So don't fool yourself that you're not guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the first thing is to get the right picture of God. And the right picture is not under the law, but it's under the gospel. So now we have the truth that righteousness that God's looking for is not that righteousness of deeds or not that righteousness of you at your best. He calls all that sin. So the true righteousness is by faith. Okay? So the true righteousness cometh to us. It is righteous without us through the gospel, but it cometh by faith. So, but before I can do that, I have to repent of all of this. So the gospel produces repentance, which I'm free to do. I'm free to admit I'm guilty. I'm free to be guilty. And then I repent of that. Golly, me at my worst, me at my best. I'm sinful. It's awful. I wish I could change myself. I need a new heart. And then to believe or to trust in God. So that would be the truth. You notice that the word truth and trust are similar. Truth and trust are related. So, I pledge my trust is to say the same thing as I pledge my truth is the same, my troth. You know, it's the same. So when you get married, you often say that. And I pledge my troth. You know, they don't say that anymore. But they used to say it in Queen Elizabeth's day. You know, Shakespeare kind of language. King James talk. We don't say it like that now. We just say, I'll marry you. Here's the ring. You know, we just kind of reduce it to our practical, you know, it's not as poetic, but still, the point gets across. Now, so that's the first thing is who is God, and then what is the truth? Well, the truth is that you're not saved by anything you do, and you're not damned by anything you do, or feel, or think, or want. You're saved totally, 100%, by what's in your heart. It's either faith and trust, or you're guilty. So now I can choose that, to be guilty, which you need to do. That's called repentance. And then you can believe in Jesus as your righteousness, and then you got it. So there's nothing you can ever do to make yourself righteous. Your deeds will never be good enough. I don't know why you do them. Now, if you do them because you have faith that that's who you are, that's different. But if you do that in order to get something, approval, or, you know, as though it were wondrous of you to do it, and you were a good person for doing it, then you made a big mistake. Because all your righteousness is a filthy rag. It's not truth. And there's no scripture on your side. So that righteousness, this is really not yours. This righteousness that we're talking about is somebody else's. That righteousness by faith is a gift. It's totally free. So you're free to sin and be guilty. You're also free to believe and not be guilty. You're innocent, completely righteous. You know, before God, He sees you as perfect. Now, how many know that that's only your heart? So I'll say innocent like you got a pure heart. Okay, so now you have a pure heart. Now you get that when you're born again. As soon as you hear the gospel, you just get that. Does anybody here have that?
Yeah.
Yahoo! Could I see hands again? How many here have that? You know, I know I don't have any guilt at all. I don't feel bad at all. I know I'm saved by grace. I know I'm not saved by me. I know it wasn't anything I did or thought or said. I know it's just purely a gift. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's the first thing is to get God, right picture of Him, not a lawgiver, but a loving Father who gives you the truth, the gospel. Oh, that the righteous nation, righteous, would go into that salvation-walled city, that great city of praise, the New Jerusalem, by the way. It's the New Jerusalem, not the one on earth today. The one on earth today, this is funny. But I remember when I went to Israel, I was thinking high holy thoughts. And when I got to the promised land, to the Holy Land, What did I find outside the every place where tourists go? You know, the tomb and, you know, all the great places you can go. And they're always selling Masonic stuff, witchcraft stuff, and whatever. And that was like amazing. You can go right there to the holy spot, and here's the devil right there selling his stuff to Christians. You don't think it's funny? I thought it was funny. I thought, you know, here we are in the Holy Land, and thank God there's no McDonald's or something on here, but still we can buy witchcraft stuff. As a matter of fact, right above Jesus' city, nobody even knows this, nobody even goes here, it's not even a tourist hotspot. Capernaum, you know, that's where he set up his headquarters, on the top of the lake. You go right above there, there's a little city, you can see it. It's just that far away, you could walk right up to it. It's a total witchcraft center. And did you know that underneath the temple, if you go down underneath the temple, and I've done that, you can walk for miles down there, underneath, go down, 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 colder and colder and colder. And then you'll see again, you know, the Masons have a big room down there of how, you know, they want to be in the holy spot and so on and so forth. And it's just witchcraft takes place all over the map. So the Holy Land is totally unholy. I mean, it's the source of incredible witchcrafts. Kind of agrees with the Bible that said the harlot church. And so the harlot of Babylon, the whore of Babylon, well, that's really Israel. And her daughters. And daughters, 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 daughters. Coming right down to us. And what is it? It's that you think works count. That's what witchcraft is. Is that you imagine you could do something good, wouldn't be guilty. That you could wipe away your guilt by a few good deeds. Pilgrimages, you know, holy water, something or other. No, there's nothing you can do. Jesus did it all. Amen. When he died on the cross, he said, it's finished. Right. Your guilt has been covered. There is no more guilt. You're free forever. This is the truth that sets you free. So freedom not only gives me guilt, but freedom also gives me righteousness by faith. So it's good to be free. Animals don't have that. Plants and trees don't have freedom. You can't have your tree in the middle of the night walk over here. You know, they don't have any freedom. Your dog can't write, you know, a song in the night or something. No, they don't have the freedom that we have. We are like God, and God holds us responsible because we're the only people that could make a choice. They don't make choices. Did you know the animals don't make choices? Of course they make choices, but they're not choices. They're instinctual. That is, they're totally circumscribed, totally determined by biology. In other words, if a dog was coming at you, all you have to do is put down a big, nice piece of meat right there. Because he's totally determined by biology. Instead of eating you, he'll eat the meat. It'd be a lot better than grabbing the bone out of his hand and having your hand chopped off. If you see a mean dog, it's real easy to calm him down. Just throw a little meat down there. Boom. He goes right to it. All animals are totally, you know, satisfied once they're satisfied. They don't need to keep eating. Now, God has put it different for us. You could be something that you're not. But an alligator can never be a frog. An animal cannot be what it's not. A butterfly cannot become a moth. I mean, they're not the same. They have similarities, but they're not the same. And so, but you could be something you're not. You could pretend to be what you're not. An animal never does that. Like, I think today I'm a fish. No, they can't do it. They just can't do it. I think I'll be a flower. You know, I think right now this lion is chasing me. I will become a tank. You know, they can't do it. That didn't even occur to them. You are what you are, period. But you and I actually cannot be what we are. Isn't that amazing? So if you are guilty, then you are guilty. How many here have been in the past guilty? Yeah. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are. And I tell you what, you didn't figure that out by yourself. Just because you did 50,000 bad things doesn't make you bad. I mean, there are people that can justify anything they've done. Well, I was poor. Well, I was ignorant. Well, my parents raised me that way. Well, you know, and so on. And I could do that because I was raised by mafia and, you know, all kinds of illicit stuff and whatever. You know, so what? So, I'm not in the mafia today. I'm in another mafia. I'm in Jesus' mafia. You know, I love it. It's great. But I wanted to be a criminal when I was a little kid because I saw that crime paid. I mean, I just looked at the biggest houses in my little town. And we were the richest county in the United States. The richest. We were the very richest county in the whole United States. Mafia. The DuPonts lived there and so on and so forth. And I could see their home. But I noticed that a lot of the Scarface and all these criminals out of Chicago, I noticed they had big homes. And they were all on the golf course. And as a little kid, I'd drive my bicycle by and think, I want to be like that. That guy's got a yellow convertible. I want one of those. I want to live in a house like that. And so as a little kid, I was already thinking of, you know what, they say crime doesn't pay, but I ain't stupid. It pays. That guy right there knows it pays. And so we kids would talk it up, you know. Hey, you know who lives there? So-and-so. And we would talk stuff up. We knew where the witch lived. We knew where the mafia lived. You know, we knew where everybody lived. Y'all don't think that's funny. So this truth will set you free. Now, after I repent, 3, and believe, 4, now I've got the first part done. That's the first part right there. Now, let's look at this. This is the key verse. Thou, God, number one up there, shall keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Huh, there's the key to my life, right there. I'm always in perfect peace. Now, watch this. 5 will be my will. 6 will be my mind. 7 will be my emotions. And 8 will be my life, my stable life. So my conduct, how I appear. Okay. Now, if I were double-minded, okay, here's my mind. Now, it can either be clear or it could be versus. It could be confused. Okay? So if my mind were confused, double-minded, if I had two minds. In other words, every time I try to think of something, I get confused. If I were double-minded, what kind of life would I live? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if you know somebody whose life is a mess, I can be unstable or I can be stable. And I'll just say right now, my life is stable. It's always stable. In other words, it's founded on something strong. It's like a rock. I got a rock underneath me. I built my house upon a rock. Other people build their house upon sand. And so their life is always chaos. And you just know people like this that you work with and see. And everything they do is always chaos. Why? It isn't because of their behavior. Behavior is just a symptom of something deeper. So, here's the problem. That if you're emotionally happy, if you're happy all the time, like me, then you aren't miserable. But let's say you were miserable, because I know some Christians who are depressed. They're unhappy. They're full of fear, anxiety, etc., etc., etc. So if you're happy, that'd be good. That'd be a good rock foundation. But if I was emotionally unhappy, miserable, depressed, etc., etc., then I'd be unstable. So emotional happiness would be a good thing to have. But where does that come about? Now look, not only does it say happy, but it says peace. Perfect peace. It doesn't just say peace. It says perfect peace. In other words, all the time. Totally all the time. All the time. Whenever you catch me, see me, find me for the last 30 some years, I don't know, 40 maybe, I'm happy. I'm totally at peace. You can't ruffle me. You can't shake me. You can't scare me. Why? Perfect peace. Cats out all fear. So I don't have any fear. I don't have any anxiety. Fear, anxiety. You know, I don't have this like other people. I used to. I don't have it anymore. What happened? I got a different foundation. So Thou, God, the true God, the one with the giving the gospel type God, that God who causes me to repent and believe, that God gives perfect peace. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is always clear. I'm always clear. Jesus loves me, this I know. Always clear. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. My mind is always clear. It's never confused because I always check everything out with the Bible, the Word of God. So, God's Word, Bible. I'll make a little Bible here. That God that I know about through this same Bible makes me always think clearly. And I always think clearly. You cannot catch me off guard and get me confused. I'm always clear. I mean, regardless of whether I've sinned or not sinned or whatever, I'm clear. Jesus loves me. Regardless if I can pay the bills or not, Jesus loves me. Regardless if people hate my guts, Jesus loves me. You see how my mind is always clear. Jim, do you realize you just were proud right there? Really? Jesus loves me. I can stretch that over everything. Y'all see that? I can just stretch my joy, my clarity. So I'm always happy and I'm always at peace and my mind is always clear. So a clear mind produces happy emotions. So thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, number 7, whose mind, 6, is stayed, 5. So the will can either be strong enough to stay a man, strong will. Other people are weak will versus weak will. In other words, I'm going to read my Bible right now, and then something else comes up, and you don't. I'm going to get up at 6 tomorrow morning. You're tired, and so on. So most Christians are weak-willed, but they have real strong wills. I mean, they're still like, hey, I'm going to love my wife from now on. I'm going to forgive. Anytime somebody does something, I'm going to just forgive them. I'm going to be more generous and kind, and so on. And people have a lot of will, but they're so weak that they can change in a minute. Well, I was going to do it, but after what you just did, they changed their mind. And their will is weak. Because the mind has to be stayed by something, otherwise it'll be double-minded. You'll always be double-minded and confused. So double-minded means you have two minds. You can't have two minds. Let's see, I think this, but then I'm not sure. I think that too. I think she loves me, but I'm not really sure after what she just did. And so you're double-minded at all times. I'm never double-minded. I'm always completely happy. Why? Because I'm single-minded. I'm always single-minded. I'm simple. There's no complexity to me. You may think I know a lot, but that knowing is nothing. I don't even care about it. I know him. I don't care about other stuff. I know God told me the truth that set me free so that I could believe in Jesus, the gospel, the righteousness by faith, and no longer live under the law, live under guilt. And by the way, I didn't care about it. But most people do. But I didn't try to fig leaf it or, pretend like I could do good things. I never thought I could do good things. I never wanted to do good things. And I didn't do them except outwardly. I did them in order to get along and get my way. Did you know that everybody, to some extent, is a hypocrite? They just do what you're supposed to do in order to get through the deal. How are you feeling right now? Great. It just gets me through the deal. It has nothing to do with how I'm doing. I just say it, hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? You just say that stuff, just so you don't have to waste time with them. But other people go like this, how you doing? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm really having a hell of a time today. I mean, things are bad. You have no idea how bad it is. Don't interrupt me, please. And the other person's waiting to tell their story. Hey, you think it's bad with you and your husband? Hey, you ought to be married to mine. So people love that kind of stuff. Are you all aware of that? So we outdo one another in how miserable are you. I've even got it worse. And they'll outdo one another because they'll just keep going until they both are totally depressed, have to go home, take lithium or something. It's just amazing to me how everybody's on Ativan and they're on everything because they're always guilty. They're guilt-ridden. And all of life is just guilt reduction. Everything in life is just how to remove the stress that I'm under at all times and all places. I'm never under stress. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So let's say something horrible happens. Praise the Lord. Horrible is the same as good. Appearance means nothing to me. I don't care how it appears. Jesus loves me, this I know. I made that decision. You say, well, Pastor, how did you know that? I don't know. I just heard it in the Bible, and then I believed it. And I chose it. So my believing something is stronger than my choosing. What I believe, I choose. I don't have to. I just want to. I choose to believe what I believe is true. Columbus believed the world was round, and so he chose to get out in the boat and find out. And he just believed it. Other people thought it was flat, and if you went too far out of the toward the horizon, you would drop over the edge, and devils and demons would eat you up. No, they knew that. Everybody knew that, because there were ships that went out beyond the horizon, and you couldn't see them anymore, and then they never came back. So they knew something swallowed them up out there. And if you look at medieval pictures, you'll see that they had little monsters out there, you know, all kinds of things. And so stick close to the shore. And everybody did. If you wanted to go somewhere, you stayed close to the shore so you could always see land. Land ho! You know, they didn't want to be too dangerous. How many have played it safe your whole life? You know, not a good idea. But it all depends on what you believe. If you believe God's an angry judge, you're in trouble. Then there are monsters out there. But I happen to believe this is my Father's world. I believe everything in this world is for me. It's all on my side.
Amen.
Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. I believe everything, everybody, even the people that hate me and don't like me, I believe. You're going to bless me anyway. Because you can't help it. Because God rigs it for his little boy, Jim. Little mafia-type boy. He loves me. He loves me. And he didn't love me when I was righteous. He loved me because I had no righteousness in me. How many know God only speaks to and offers gospel to sinners? You have to be guilty, otherwise he won't give you an offer. Nobody who is fig leafing it. I'll put the fig leafer here. Here's the fig leaf guy, you know, wearing his fig leaves. That fig leaf person is hiding his sin, but that doesn't mean he's not a sinner. He just hides it behind a lot of good looking deeds to make people think he's something that he isn't. To hide the fact that his heart is full of evil and adultery and lust and murder and so on and so forth, like everybody else. You know that we're all alike by nature. So every man in nature is a sinner. That's it. And that didn't bother me, but it bothers religious people. I wasn't raised in the church. I had no church. 11. I was 11 before I went to my first church. You know, I had escaped it, so I didn't know anything about church. And the minute I got there, I realized they're hypocrites. I mean, in just a few minutes, I had figured that out. And I've told you that story before, but, you know, it didn't take me long to figure out, this is just fig leafing. They're just covering up. The truth is that they're exactly like me. Because I never had nice thoughts. I never had, wonderful warmth toward anybody. Not my mother who tried to abort me 4 times, not my, grandmother who told her to. And, you know, I didn't have any love there, nor did I feel any love or have any. I don't remember being hugged and held and so on. So I was used to barely surviving minute by minute. Grew up in absolute total poverty. Nothing like what's here. I mean, no plumbing, no nothing. You know, the only thing we had is a pump out in the back, and that's where you got your water. And that just was a shallow well in the back, you know, it was hand dug. And, I didn't have anything. We ate off the land. I've told you that. We ate dandelions. Now it's a luxury, but in my day it was just a necessity. You had to eat something. And if you cut off my grandmother showed me how to cut them, just cut off the leaves, and in a few days they'll be back. That was amazing to me. So you could kind of harvest them out there, and that would be our salad. And, you know, whatever else you had to grow it yourself. You know, you didn't have a store to give it. It was World War II. It was all rationed. You didn't have sugar. You didn't have, you know, butter. You didn't have a whole bunch of stuff as little kids. And so I didn't eat. I mean, you just have what you have, and that's it. And we had a lot of pear trees, plum trees, apple trees, you know, peaches. We had all kinds of food like that. And grandmother, thank God for grandmother. She was a snake charmer, by the way. She really was. I mean, literally. She wrestled with alligators in the circus. I mean, when she was a little girl, she thought, I'd like to be in the circus. So she got in the circus. I loved my grandmother. She was awesome. She was the one that wanted me killed. Do you understand it? Because she said to my mother, you know, you're only 17 or 18 or whatever you are, and your career is ruined. You've just ruined your life. You have this baby, you're ruined. And so I ruined my mother's life. Do you all see that?
Amen.
So do I have guilt? No. I think I was a blessing. Is it time to go? Oh, I hate that. I hate going when I'm just warming up. Anyway, so if your emotions are happy, it's because your mind is clear. And if your mind is clear, it's because your will is strong. And if your will is strong, it's because your faith is pure. You have pure faith in the heart. Pure faith. Pure. P-U-R-E. So this pure heart produces this strong will. And it's the only thing in the world that will do it, by the way. Which will produce this clear mind, which will produce happy emotions, which will produce a stable life. So it's very easy for me to look through anybody. Because I can see right away, just by looking at your life, who you are. I know exactly what's going on. You don't have emotional problems. You don't have mental problems. You don't even have volitional problems. You don't even have behavioral problems. You don't have any problems. Your problem is you don't know God. You know the wrong God. You have the wrong picture of God. You get your picture of God, you get it right, you get everything right. You get your picture of God wrong, you get everything wrong. Now, I don't mean just that he's a savior. No, no, no. Jesus is not just the savior. Because he's not just saving me. This would be savior up here. Savior. But that just means I'm born again. But also he wants to be Lord here over my soul. So he wants these three things right here. My emotions, you know, everything. And then he wants to be Lord here. He wants to be Lord of my conduct, of my character, and of my heart. So here's my heart. Here's my spiritual spirit, soul, body. So it's really easy for me. And I'm not saying anything great. I'm just simply saying it's easy for me to understand because of what happened to me. It's totally 100% easy for me to understand the whole scripture. I don't have, like, oh, I wish I could understand this. I don't have that. It says in here, men are sinners. I am. I mean, see, there's no argument there. Most people argue with it. Well, I've done a few good things. I don't ever argue. God is good. Good. That's it. The law is over. Fine. You know. And so I never argue with it. I heard what it said, and I bought it. You're not saved by works. That's the end of that. I just threw it out just like that because I never had it anyway. So it was an easy one. So I just was the exact thing he needed to be, which is a total guilty sinner who didn't care. I didn't care if I was a sinner. I didn't care if God loved me. I didn't care about heaven. I wasn't afraid of hell. I didn't care. Heaven and hell was nothing to me. It was, you know, something I wasn't looking at. I knew there was a future somewhere, but I didn't care about it. I just postponed it. You know, that's what sinners do. They just postpone all that stuff. Why look at it? Because I didn't believe in it. Because I never saw any Christians that looked Christian. I never saw that. I never saw any good people. I only saw hypocrites and liars and phonies and fakes and evil men and so on and so forth. That's all I ever saw. And so I didn't know about this, you know, church thing. And when I got into it at 11, I realized right away, there's fig leaf stuff. I mean, I didn't know the word fig leaf at that time. I didn't even know those stories. But that was the end for me. Religion is worthless. It has no power. It apparently it gets people from, they're not stealing hubcaps and stuff like that. Okay, fine. But it doesn't really change the inner man at all. Because I could see people in church hated each other. They were resentful. They were envious. And I read in the Bible, it says, you know, don't have any of that stuff. And they were having it. It's like, this is a phony place. The people here are bitter. I can tell. My own parents, you know. They don't swear in church, but as soon as they get in the car, you know, they're just going for it. And, you know, my mother had three husbands, so I could never figure out exactly who I belonged to or what was going on. So didn't bother. I didn't know who my cousins were going to be the next Christmas or anything. And, you know, I remember I liked Gloria, but I didn't get to see her at the next Christmas because my Uncle Duke had already, Duke, that means Irish Mafia. That meant he had married some other floozy that, you know, the past one wasn't there anymore. And so, you know, they were always doing all this stuff, and it didn't bother me because that's the way I grew up. When you grow up in something, you don't even know any better. Then when I got more sophisticated, a little older, I moved on the other side of town. We lived on the wrong side of Ogden Avenue, which is Highway 66. We lived on the wrong side. But when we got out of the wrong side and went into town where you had to go to school and stuff, I realized those people were just the same. It wasn't any different. They just had more money. They just didn't swear openly, you know, just, but they were the same. And so that amazed me because I'd go to some of their houses and realize, gee, they have problems too. That was an eye-opener. Because I thought, wow, that person must be totally happy. I'm miserable because of my little deal, but I didn't really care about it. But, boy, if I had parents like that or a home like that, you know, things would be great. Then I got in there and realized that, man, those people were yelling and screaming. It's like, whoa, no better than mine. That was amazing. So very quickly I realized there wasn't just one rotten apple in the barrel. The whole barrel was rotten. It didn't make any difference. The outward stuff didn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of person you were or anything else. And I didn't know what the answer was because I didn't have a God. Didn't go to church. Didn't know about that. And when I did, I realized it looked like fig leaf stuff to me. And so God doesn't want you to do the fig leaf stuff because then you have to repent twice. You have to repent of lying about being one of these when you're actually not one of these, you're actually one of these. And I already was one of those. I remember when I went to college, first thing he told me is nothing is black and white, everything is gray. Well, I didn't know that. I thought everything was black and white. And I did the black and the other people did the white. And I just knew that they were liars and phonies, but I thought everything was black and white. I mean, I knew what I did wrong. I did wrong. I chose it. I deliberately stole. I deliberately lied. I deliberately conned people out of stuff. I just did it all deliberately. I calculated it. I thought about it. Now, Mrs. Smith will buy these seeds that I have. I'll get Mr. Jones to buy the Grit newspaper. And I sold all that stuff to buy weapons and stuff. I got hatchets and guns and stuff. I love that. Because if you sold enough subscriptions to something, you would get a prize. That was a little incentive for budding capitalists. And I was into it. Man, I can get anything I want. So I got hatchets. I got BB guns and shot things. I love that. That was cool. So I actually didn't have a very noble kind of view of life. Right? And now here I am, a pastor. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And I love Jesus with all my heart. And I love my wife. And I'm doing things that I never thought were even possible. I never thought I would be a lover. I never thought I would worship God. I never thought the center of my life would be to know Him. So thou, God, shall keep him, me, in perfect peace. What? Peace is here. Peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. And that produces that. And then it says, because, now it's going to give the reason. He trusts in him, God. So because I trust in God, because I made that the foundation of my life, and I didn't do anything. I just simply heard it. Faith cometh by hearing. I just heard it, and then I believed it, and apparently I was born again. I didn't even know what it meant or anything. Apparently, I was born again. But I knew when it happened, I fell in love with Jesus. I didn't know about the born again and all that kind of stuff. I heard about concepts, but I didn't really understand all that. All I knew was there's something in me now that wasn't in me before. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do that. That's a waste of time. What a waste of time. My life has been totally in vain. Evil, shallow, etc. I'm now trusting God. And I made him the Lord of my life. That took me 6 months. I didn't even know what that was, but I checked into it. And that meant you would give up all your life. You wouldn't will your will anymore. Not my will, but thine be done. You wouldn't think your thoughts anymore. You wouldn't feel your emotions anymore. You'd give those all up to Jesus. I thought, why would a guy do that? I just got the good news that he loves me as I am. And all of a sudden, I got to be something different? I ain't doing it. But I said to God, God, if this is part of the deal, I can read it in the book. Apparently, you're supposed to do something. Could you do all that for me instead of me? Because I don't think me can do it. I don't think me can kill me off. I don't think me has any strength being me, I don't think there's anything in me that'll want to not be me. So if you're the one that does it, and you live in my heart, Christ in me, the hope of glory, could you then do all this hope of glory stuff? And I'll just go to sleep and stuff, and then you do it. You did this one. Could you do this one? And could you do this one? Go for it. I didn't help them one bit. I never consciously thought I'm doing a good thing. Never. I never read my Bible in order to get something. I never read my Bible in order to be something. I just read the Bible. Just to understand it. Why do people believe in this? Why don't they believe in Buddha? Why do they believe in psychology? Why do they do what they do? I have no idea. So just in being, you know, kind of smart, I just read stuff and, I see. So it's saying God is, I thought God was this guy here, a lawgiver type God that wanted you to behave. He doesn't. He's a loving father who just wants to forgive you for not behaving. That's funny. And then he wants to give you this good news is you get to go to heaven because of what Jesus did. Cool. Man, that's better than the mafia. That is good. I love that. And so I rejoiced right away. I rejoiced without even understanding what I was laughing about or why it was so good. I just thought, wow, I don't even have to work at this thing at all. I don't have to do evil or good. I don't have to do anything. He doeth it all. To God be the glory. So, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Do you have perfect peace? Happy all the time. Perfect. Whose mind, always clear, is stayed, always strong-willed. Mind, stop that. Stop thinking two things. That one is wrong. That one is right. You think this one. Do you have that kind of will? I do. I just refuse to believe things that are not true. And how do I know? Well, he tells me. I have no idea what true and false is. He does. I go to him. I don't eat of that tree. I don't waste my time at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because I never knew what was good and bad. And if there was a good and bad, I'd have chosen the bad anyway. And so I never chose the good because I didn't want the good. Why would I want good? Good was, when I looked at people who were supposed to be good, I didn't see happiness, joy, and peace, and power, majesty, and glory. Y'all see that?
Yep.
Y'all see that?
Yep.
All right. Now, did anyone today learn anything? Because I'm not even sharing. This is all about how to govern yourself, how to be mature as a Christian, how to be Christ-like when it's done, how to be led of the Holy Spirit. This is discipleship, the whole thing. All of this is all just so simple. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is set on thee, and then that's because he trusts in him. I saw the whole thing, and I realized there's the key to life. That's the righteous nation. That's the one that's going to go in and change this world as the light and the salt of this world. You get this down, you get everything. Get the right picture of God. He's a loving father. He shouldn't. He told people not to sin, and they did. And I didn't have any, I was naked. I didn't have any fig leaves on me. God, you said not to hate you, but I don't love you. You said not to do thus and so, but I like doing that. You know, I had no cover. I was not sophisticated at all. I was sophisticated in lying to people, but I never lied to myself. There was no cover between me and God. Do you understand? There was no gap. Jim, you have sinned. I agree. What's next? Now what's going to happen? You're going to go to heaven. I am? What? You crazy? Yeah, if you believe in Jesus. Who is he? What's he do? He loves you. Cool. All right. Yeah. So I didn't have any depth of understanding. I just kept hearing it. It took me a bunch of years, but when I finally got it, I was like, that's it. That's it. Settled. Rock. Solid. No sand. No shifting. My mind has never, ever, ever since then been confused. My will has never, ever been weak. My emotions have never been unhappy. My life has never been unstable. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing because I have the same life everybody else has. I have the same experiences, maybe even worse, who knows. But I know one thing, this truth set me free. This good God, loving Father, this true gospel where righteousness comes by faith, I put my trust in Him, made this. To God be the glory. And I believe that not only is that true personally, I believe I get everything else. If with Christ Jesus he freely gives you all things. In other words, there's nothing too good for me. You all see that? I don't care what my background is. I don't care where I should be today or ought to be or should be or could be. I don't care about that. I only care about one thing. God, where am I? You're in heaven with me. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Woohoo! Is it wrong to be happy in this rotten world? No, not. I'm having a blast. I'm having a good time. And I don't care what happens. I don't care. I do not care. Because he said, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Ah, that's me. I love the Lord. Well, all things. So just choose it. I choose it. I choose not to worry, and I choose always to have faith. You say, is it hard? Not for me. It might be for somebody else who's a game player. I don't have any games in me. I totally believe what I believe what I believe. This is who I am, and this is now who I am. I used to be that am, now I'm this am. And Christ in me is now my new am. I'm no longer Jim in me, I'm now Christ in me. And therefore I have a strong will, clear mind, happy emotions, stable life. And everything is going my way, and I don't believe there's anyone, no devil, no demons, no nothing that I'm afraid of or worried about or scared of. I believe everything's going to go just exactly the way God wants it to go. Why? I just read that in the book. Simple. I just read it in the book. Whatever the book says, that's the way it is. So if you read on that whole chapter, you'll see how powerful what I just told you is established. That we are that righteous nation, and we shall go in to that city, and you're already there partially. In fact, you're already there completely. You just haven't seen it. You just haven't seen it. I already am, even though I haven't yet behaved like or see it perfectly. I already believe it perfectly. And if you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will see. So I've chosen it. I believe it. Then I've chosen it. Then I've clarified my mind. Mind, stop thinking two things. That's silly. That's not true. This is true. Stick here. And you're a new man in Christ. I am? Yeah. Therefore, you're happy. I am? Yeah. You see how that was? You're happy all the time. I am? How many are happy all the time? I just chose it. Because I believed it. I believe everything God says is the truth. I believe nothing that he says is a lie. So I don't believe God is an angry judge. I believe he's a loving father. Why? Because that's what the book says. Now, my life, simple, 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 that's the foundation. I didn't do it. It just happened to me. I heard it, and I believed it. I didn't hear it as a religious person. I didn't hear it as a moral person. I wasn't moral. I didn't hear it as an intellectual person. I didn't hear it as anything. I just read it. And without trying to get it to do anything, I just read it. And one day after 7 years, it just took. And there it was. And forever and ever, I have become what I never thought I could ever become, or I didn't even want to. But I became that. I became like Christ. Not in the world to come. No. Here, in my family, in my church, in my world, in my cities, wherever I am. Now, is there anyone else like that? Anyone else? One. Anyone else? Two. You can't just kind of go like this. You know. Anyone else? Who else? Free. I tell you, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Yahoo! I love it. It's powerful. I'm only believing good things because I believe we have a good God. And I believe everything he does is good. And I believe everything he does happens. And I believe nothing the other guy does happens. So I believe everything that appears to happen is not really happening. But what God says, that's what's really happening. And it's already happened, and it's already over. It's finished. It's complete. Though I see it not, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is. Therefore, we'll be just like he is. We'll notice it then. Today, I don't need to notice it. I read it in the book. Amen. Is that an empty faith? No. Very productive, very powerful. Faith active in love. My faith did all of this. Faith, hope. When everything was happening here, I still had hope that what I believed was true, and then eventually I walked in love. That's because I'm happy all the time. That's because I'm clear all the time. That's because I'm strong all the time. That's because my heart is pure all the time. That's because God loves me, because I know who God is, and I know his gospel. So, that maketh. Anyone else wants to testify? Pastor.
I've got a scripture.
Okay.
The Lord gave it to me this week, and it's perfect. First Thessalonians 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass.
Good. That isn't just, you know, she got a scripture this week. That is perfect. And that is that's what you call where two things come together to establish it forever. I'm just telling you, that was God. That, thank you. That's powerful. God spoke to you and spoke to me, because I told you I had no message. I mean, I've studied. But I didn't know what to say or do. But I believe that. I believe your scripture is absolutely perfect. I believe it's what I didn't have right there. It's perfect. God is good. All right. Our God is great. You have a blessed week. The best has been saved to the last. We're here at the last. Yahoo!